God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Blessed be his kingdom, now and forever. Amen.
Almighty God, to you all hearts are open, all desires known, and from you no secrets are hid. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name through Christ our Lord. Amen. Be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Blessed Lord, who caused all holy scriptures to be written for our learning, grant us so to hear them, read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest them, that we may embrace and ever hold fast the blessed hope of everlasting life, which you have given us in our Savior, Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever.
Amen.
A reading from the book of Zephaniah. Be silent before the Lord God, for the day of the Lord is at hand. The Lord has prepared a sacrifice. He has consecrated his guests. At that time, I will search Jerusalem with lamps, and I will punish the people who rest complacently on their dregs. Those who say in their hearts, the Lord will not do good, nor will he do harm. Their wealth shall be plundered and their houses laid waste. Though they build houses, they shall not inhabit them. Though they plant vineyards, they shall not drink wine from them. The great day of the Lord is near and hastening fast. The sound of the day of the Lord is bitter. The warrior cries aloud there. That day will be a day of wrath, a day of distress and anguish, a day of ruin and devastation, a day of darkness and gloom, a day of clouds and thick darkness, a day of trumpet blast and battle cry against the fortified cities and against the lofty battlements. I will bring such distress upon people that they shall walk like the blind, because they have sinned against the Lord. Their blood shall be poured out like dust, and their flesh like dung. Neither their silver nor their gold will be able to save them on the day of the Lord's wrath. In the fire of his passion, the whole earth shall be consumed, for a full and terrible end, he will make all of the inhabitants of the earth. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
A reading from the first letter of Paul to the Thessalonians. Now concerning the times and the seasons, brothers and sisters, you do not need to have anything written to you, for you yourselves know very well that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. When they say there is peace and security, then sudden destruction will come upon them, as labor pains come upon a pregnant woman, and there is no escape. But you, beloved, are not in darkness, for that day to surprise you like a thief. For you are all children of light and children of the day. We are not of the night or of the darkness. So let us not fall asleep as others do, but let us keep awake and be sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who are drunk, get drunk at night. But since we belong to the day, let us be sober and put on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet, the hope of salvation. For God has destined us not for wrath, but for obtaining salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, so that whether we are awake or asleep, we may live with him. Therefore, encourage one another and build up each other, as indeed you are doing. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Jesus said, "The kingdom of heaven will be as when a man going on a journey summoned his slaves and entrusted his property to them. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, to each according to his ability. Then he went away. The one who had received the 5 talents went off at once and traded with them and made 5 more talents. In the same way, the one who had the 2 talents made 2 more talents. But the one who had received the 1 talent went off and dug a hole in the ground and hid his master's money. After a long time, the master of those slaves came and settled accounts with them. Then the one who had received the 5 talents came forward, bringing 5 more talents, saying, 'Master, you handed over to me 5 talents. See, I have made 5 more talents. His master said to him, "Well done, good and trustworthy slave. You have been trustworthy in a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master." And the one with the 2 talents also came forward saying, "Master, you handed over to me 2 talents. See, I've made 2 more talents. His master said to him, "Well done, good and trustworthy slave. You have been trustworthy in a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master." Then the one who had received the 1 talent came forward saying, "Master, I knew that you were a harsh man, reaping where you did not sow and gathering where you did not scatter seed. So I was afraid, and I went and hid your talent in the ground. Here you have what is yours." But his master replied, "You wicked and lazy slave, you knew, did you, that I reap where I did not sow and gather where I did not scatter? Then you ought to have invested my money with the bankers, and on my return I would have received what was my own with interest. So take the talent from him and give it to the one with the 10 talents. For to all those who have, more will be given and they will have an abundance. But from those who have nothing, even what they have will be taken away. As for this worthless slave, throw him into the outer darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." The gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.
Amen.
Good morning.
Morning.
Wow, what another perfect setup for a stewardship sermon. And what a perfect day for it. You think those lectionary guys knew what they were doing when they scheduled all these parables about money and wealth and talent during October and November? Well, lucky for you, I gave my stewardship sermon several weeks ago, so you won't have to endure another one. And although it appears that this gospel reading is all about stewardship and using your God-given talents, it may surprise you that this gospel reading has another angle to it. As we know, Jesus teaches us through the use of allegories and parables. And in the allegory today's reading, a slave owner entrusts money to 3 servants. The Greek word used here to represent a specific amount of money is talanta. Since it is translated into English as talent, it gets confusing for us because we are immediately biased by our meaning of the word talent and don't hear the story the way the original listeners would have heard it. It is natural to assume that the word talent is a metaphor for our abilities. In fact, the English language got the word talent from the interpretation of this parable, and that we are not to hide or waste our God-given talents. I think this is a great message, but it means that we are saying that the slave owner character in the allegory is representing God. And I have a problem with that because I've always been bothered about the harsh words between the third slave and the slave owner, where the slave basically calls the slave owner a thief, and the slave owner not only does not deny it, but embraces the accusation. However, after reading some scholarship articles on this passage, which enlightened me on both economic and social understandings of the culture at the time, I began to interpret this allegory in a different way. Let me recap the parable, and as I do, I'm going to use familiar money terms and share some of the things that I learned from these articles. There was a slave owner going on a journey. Before he left, he entrusted some money to three different slaves. To one, he gave $1 million. To another, he gave $500,000. And to a third, $250,000. Now, stepping back from the story for a minute, other than this, we know nothing else about the expectations of the slave owner. He does not give them any instructions. And this is a lot of money to be entrusting to your servants. How would you react if someone entrusted you with that amount of money? And I'm not overstating the dollar amounts. They are a fair representation in today's world of the value given to the slaves. And I think the reason the values are so high is that because Jesus likes to use exaggeration in many of his parables. It immediately sets the stage that it is a parable or an allegory. And the fact that the slave owner gave his slaves some money and responsibility was not unusual. Slavery in this culture was much different than the punitive, racially biased slavery that occurred in this country. Slaves in the Jewish culture were allowed to be educated, were allowed to own property, and were allowed to congregate. It was not based on race, but in fact, the slaves were from the same cultural and religious background as their owners. Many slaves were entrusted by their owners to manage some or all of their affairs. So it wasn't uncommon for slave owners to do as in the allegory. However, it is the amount of money that is the exaggeration. And I also think it would help to understand the viewpoint of the listeners to Jesus' message. They view the economic world differently than we do. They assume there was a fixed amount of money. If someone attained more money, that meant someone else lost money. In our current economic society, we believe wealth can be generated. Somebody doesn't have to lose out for someone else to gain. But at the time of Jesus, it was believed that if anyone gained in wealth, it had to be at the expense of someone else. So the wealthy slave owner was not an admirable character to the listeners. And as the story continues, we find out that the slave owner returns and calls the three slaves to him to settle accounts with him. Both the first and second slaves have doubled their money and are praised by the slave owner. This action by the slaves would have turned off the listeners. They would see these slaves as using deceptive and possible illegal means to have doubled their money. And by knowing that the slave owner approved of this behavior indicates that allegorically the slave owner is not representing God, but is representing someone who serves earthly things. So let's reconsider the comment from the third slave as he begins his explanation to his master and basically calls him a thief when he says, "Master, I knew that you were a harsh man, reaping where you did not sow and gathering where you did not scatter seed. So I was afraid and I went and hid your talent in the ground." These words make more sense if we consider that the slave owner is not representing God. This viewpoint turns the allegory upside down. The slave owner is the bad guy, and the first two slaves were bad guys as well. What does that mean for the third slave? He is harshly criticized by his master, but I believe he is the honorable one by not misusing the money. The third slave has risked his relationship with his master to stand up for what is right. He has chosen not to go out in the world and use deceptive means to increase his money. He doesn't even give the money to bankers to earn interest because that was forbidden in Jewish society. He did what he thought was his best course of action of not violating any social laws. He deserves credit for doing the right thing, which put himself at risk with his master. A parallel in today's world would be an employee who's asked by his employer to perform a task that he knows is illegal. Now put yourself in the position of that employee. Maybe this has actually happened to you, or maybe something similar to this, where someone with power over you asked you to do something you knew was wrong. If you resist, there may be consequences. It may even involve losing your job. Jesus is speaking out against this behavior. He's telling those in power not to take advantage of their power. He's also encouraging those in the weaker position to speak up. It is very hard to be that weaker person and speak up and potentially lose your job or promotion, putting your family at financial risk. I believe people who act in the manner of the slave owner are the epitome of evil that Jesus is speaking against. It is at the heart opposite to the second great commandment of love your neighbor as yourself. There are many examples of Jesus addressing this power issue. Just a few chapters earlier in Matthew, the crowd tries to quiet a couple of blind men trying to get Jesus' attention. Jesus calms the crowd and asks the blind men what they want. Jesus, instead of just assuming what the blind men want, gives them their dignity by giving them voice. He is setting the example that those in power should stop and listen. All of us, day in and day out, are in position of power over others and are in position of being subjected to power over from others. Sometimes it can be very obvious, but sometimes it can be very subtle. For example, I am in a situation of power where I'm running my business. I'm the boss, and everyone is supposed to do what I tell them to do. But it's in my and everyone's best interest for me to listen to my employees, to understand their situation, so that I can be the best leader for them as possible. On the other hand, when I'm in a brand new situation, I can feel intimidated because I don't know the insider language or the process. It is my job to speak up and ask questions and learn. And although you may not be able to identify with my situations exactly, all of you cycle through power and powerlessness as well. You may have felt powerlessness when you were a child or in a new situation or had a dominating teacher or boss. Possible times of power could be as a parent or leader of a committee. And it doesn't have to be a time you could boss someone around. Those of us who are regulars here at St. Thaddeus will have power over visitors just by knowing the inclusive language and how to use the prayer book, while a visitor could feel intimidated by not being an insider. It puts the visitor in a position of powerlessness. Give power to visitors by reaching out to them and giving them a voice. So going back to the allegory, the third slave is the good example for us. Jesus wants us to speak up when we are powerless. In particular, he wants us to stand up and speak up against those who abuse power. Also, we have a responsibility to recognize when we have power and make sure we don't abuse that power. And we don't have to be corporate executives to have power. Abuse of power can occur in normal, everyday situations, such as tall people using their height, intelligent people using their knowledge, and pretty people using their allure. All of us are in positions of power over others in various situations. Be aware when you have that power to avoid abusing that power. And on the other side of the coin, don't be afraid to step up and speak up when you see power being abused. Amen.
Amen.
Please stand with me and let us share our faith together. by reciting the Nicene Creed found on page 11 of your bulletin. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven. By the power of the Holy Spirit, he became incarnate from the Virgin Mary and was made man. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son. With the Father and the Son, he is worshiped and glorified. He has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and a life of the world to come. Amen.
Father, we pray for your Holy Catholic Church. Grant that every member of the church may truly and humbly serve you.
That your name may be glorified by all people.
We pray for all bishops, priests, and deacons.
That they may be faithful ministers of your word and sacraments.
We pray for all who govern and hold authority in the nations of the world.
That there may be justice and peace on the earth.
Give us grace to do your will in all that we undertake.
That our works may find favor in your sight.
Have compassion on those who suffer from grief or trouble.
That they may be delivered from their distress.
Give to the departed eternal rest.
Let light perpetual shine upon them.
We praise you for your saints who have entered into joy.
May we also come to share in your heavenly kingdom.
Let us pray for our own needs and those of others, especially those on our prayer list. Margaret,
Jean, Steve, Nicole, Courtney and J.R., Blair, John and Jim, Paul, Marie, Chuck, Jamie, Martha, Renee, Jaden, Ryan, Teddy, Richard, Regina, Irene, Larry and Sally, Jean, Michael, Joe, Laura, Baylor, Shay, Ed and Pat, Doug, Ed, Alberta, Tom, Angela, Tony, Jane, Charles, Tony, Zach, Cliff, Betsy, Michael, Clara, Georgina, Nancy, Judy, Joycey, Bernard, Russ, Jerry, Sarah, Janice, Bill, Martha, Ellie, Judy, Shane, Jen.
Are there other? We pray for the members of our armed forces. We give thanks for those celebrating birthdays this week, especially Elaine McKeon, Scotty McKeon, Ralph Maples, and Rachel Huckabee. We give thanks for those celebrating an anniversary this week, especially Betsy and Chuck Carpenter. Almighty and eternal God, ruler of all things in heaven and earth, mercifully accept the prayers of your people and strengthen us to do your will through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Let us confess our sins against God and our neighbor. Most merciful God,
we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done, and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry, and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your name.
Amen. Amen.
Almighty God, have mercy on you. Forgive you all your sins through our Lord Jesus Christ. Strengthen you in all goodness, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, keep you in eternal life.
Amen.
Please be seated. Before we have the peace, we have the opportunity to offer our thanksgiving for all of the blessings of our lives by putting our pledge on the altar. And the way we're going to do this is to have Kelly hold the basin, and we can, those of us who remembered to bring our envelopes or who didn't drop them or lose them, can deposit them in the collection plate. We encourage those who are able to bring up their offering now. Those who are unable to walk up and put the offering in the basin, you may place it in the collection plate during the offertory. So may we have a little music as we allow people to come up and put in their pledge offerings. Of the Lord be always with you.
And also with you.
Service of just piano. Well, that was good. That was very good. How did you play?
Or as Christian called me at 4:11 last night, he said, you need to go to Huntsville because they have a reed pipe organ pump organ that I need for you to buy your organ. He's like, sorry, Charlie.
I'd bring it back to the house.
He goes, Huntsville, that's not very far away. I said, I ain't bringing another thing.
That's what, 2-3 hours?
We're going to have two pianos, about 20.
Peace, fellow knee, virtual knee holder, owner.
Peace. I used to have one though. That was
peace.
See, I don't have any pianos or organs because I don't know how to play them.
Well, that's good. I mean, that's the reason.
I have a trombone. I used to have a French horn.
French horn is lovely. Mm-hmm. French horn is lovely.
That was my high school.
But it's been so long ago, I forgot how to play the French horn.
Loved us and gave himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God.
Almighty and everlasting God, who madest nothing that thou hast made,
and dost
forgive the sins of all those who are penitent. Acknowledging our wretchedness, may obtain of thee the God of all mercy, perfect remission and forgiveness through Jesus Christ.
With you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give him thanks and praise.
It is right and a good and joyful thing, always and everywhere to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. For by water and the Holy Spirit, you have made us a new people in Jesus Christ our Lord, to show forth your glory and all the world. Therefore, we praise you, joining our voices with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven who forever sing this hymn to proclaim the glory of your name. And gracious Father, in your infinite love, you made us for yourself. And when we had fallen into sin and become subject to evil and death, you, in your mercy, sent Jesus Christ, your only and eternal Son, to share our human nature, to live and die as one of us, to reconcile us to you, the God and Father of all. He stretched out his arms upon the cross and offered himself in obedience to your will, a perfect sacrifice for the whole world. On the night he was handed over to suffering and death, our Lord Jesus Christ took bread, and when he had given thanks to you, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." After supper, he took the cup of wine, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you drink it, do this for the remembrance of me." Therefore, we proclaim the mystery of faith.
Christ has died.
Christ is risen.
Christ will come again.
We celebrate the memorial of our redemption, O Father, in this sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving. Recalling his death, resurrection, and ascension, we offer you these gifts. Sanctify them by your Holy Spirit to be for your people the body and blood of your Son, the holy food and drink of new and unending life in him. Sanctify us also, that we may faithfully receive this holy sacrament and serve you in unity, constancy, and peace. And at the last day, bring us with all your saints into the joy of your eternal kingdom. All this we ask through your Son, Jesus Christ. By him and with him and in him, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever.
Amen.
And now, as our Savior Christ has taught us, we are bold to say, Our Father, who art in heaven,
hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever.
Amen. Of God for the people of God.
Christ, the bread of heaven. The body of Christ.
Let us pray. Eternal God, Heavenly Father, you have graciously accepted us as living members of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, and you have fed us with spiritual food in the sacrament of his body and blood. Send us now into the world in peace and grant us strength and courage to love and serve you with gladness and singleness of heart through Christ our Lord. Amen. May the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God and of his Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with you today and remain with you forever. Amen. Go forth into the world rejoicing in the power of the Spirit. Alleluia, alleluia.